There we go. You can actually capture this as a good thing about generating streaming content, since you do so much of that.
Sure.
But with that, it seems like it's a lot of it's coming from the same set, because you have the pseudo Cosby sweater.
Yeah, yeah.
But with that, do you just have like the full set and you're just kind of chopping it up and releasing it as you feel like it, or is there a method to the madness, or is it venture?
No method right now. I just have more time, and I want to start getting pieces up in case I want to one day submit clips to festivals and whatnot. I kind of want to have some stuff up there. I recorded a set last week that does not look good, so I might not release anything. But right now, it's just a longer 30-minute clip that I'm taking stuff from.
Cool.
Doesn't look good like you had a bad hair day, or doesn't look good like maybe it's a little grainy?
I can't really show anything, but it's basically it's at an angle where the lights basically bathe my entire face and like upper region, and then it's just like kind of a side angle of me.
So you kind of look like Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Yeah, and it's very unflattering angle, just for anyone.
Just call it your powder set. Right? Like anybody over the age of 28-ish should get that, you know?
Still haven't seen that, but I know of it, so some credit.
Yeah.
I have no idea when Adam... It's always so hit and miss when Adam shows up. It's either Katie drags him forcefully, or it's just Adam, and it's... gonna be today, but that's as far as I got.
Yeah, because Katie's at callbacks.
Right, I think, yeah.
That's what she was saying when I was recruited.
So, how's the job search going?
It's going. Just trying to look for stuff, applying. I have an interview tomorrow, but we'll see. It's going okay.
I might have something for you if you, I'm pretty sure it's a paid internship. If I find out more about it, I should say, it'd be a social media expert.
Oh, yeah, well, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So it's the person who's telling me about it is out this week, but I can shoot him a message and see if he'll check his email.
No problem. Yeah. Anything would help. Just trying to see what's out there. I love being screwed over by companies.
You could come work for Frontier. And yeah.
A little hesitation. Like, Frontier.
It's corporation work. What can you do?
Yeah.
True. I would kind of love if you showed up and you were actually on the podcast, but you just had a naturally tinny voice. It's like, no, this is perfect audio. This is HD audio. It's kind of sound robotic.
Sound this way. I'd probably be a lot more popular if I did that, because then I'd just get comments and views on people going, what the hell is this guy, and what's wrong with his voice?
Be like, robot guy stand up, 4 exclamation points, 1 exclamation point.
You'd be a YouTube sensation. Yeah, that's exactly how I'd promote it.
And then there'd be a mess of people who think that you just have one of those, like, I've lost my voice box machines, and you just covered it with a fake, like, neck. And it's like, no, this is really my neck. This is really how I sound.
I always had a
apple.
Scarf on, but never mentioned anything about it.
Scarves and turtlenecks.
Yep. But no one, I would never answer the question if everyone brought it up.
That'd be weird. I'm going to stick with that. It's going to be weird.
So, what's your favorite color?
Oh, am I supposed to? Should I keep talking for this audio, or how is that?
No, it's at this point. Usually, what we do is kind of a mic check thing, but Adam would simultaneously fix crap on the board. Okay. So, at this point, it's coming up with. Well, you know what? We can talk about other stuff. Do you know about? Have you heard the rules for Movie Bluff?
No, sorry.
The game. Well, you know the 6 degrees, or six degrees of Kevin Bacon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like that, but instead of just bouncing from actor to actor, it's kind of like IMDb, where it's you can go from a movie to an actor to a movie to an actor, and that was the buzzer. I'll be right back.
wouldn't mind explaining Movie Bluff from a guest perspective, that would be a good angle.
All right, so I'm going to put these back on so I can hear you respond. So Movie Bluff, you basically say, okay, I'd start off and I'd say Michael J. Fox, and then I'd either say movie, which can be, it should be something like role. I mean, this is me as a guest saying this, but it should be either movie or cast. So if I said movie, you would have to name another movie that Michael J. Fox has been in, right? That's how you start it. So, you know, you would say Teen Wolf, right? Okay. Or the next person would say Teen Wolf, because obviously you're going to choose Teen Wolf out of all the things he could have been in. And then you either say movie or cast, and you just kind of go around like that, and you either say another movie the person's been in, or you say another member of the cast of the movie that was in question, the last one named. And then you can, if you don't know, you could just say something, and then people can call you on it, hence Movie Bluff. Then you can either be called on it, or you can name another one, and then you get the point. So we just kind of alternate clockwise, counterclockwise, basically.
Yeah, it's per point we go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth.
Hey, Adam.
Hello.
Hello.
Nice to, well, I can't really hear you, but nice to meet you.
Hey, nice to see you visually.
Yes, nice to see you, yes.
John says, I'm sorry, it's not mutual. He didn't actually say that. That was me.
All right. Can I get you something to drink, Adam?
Yeah.
Let's,
Adam's got this really excellent kind of Cosby sweater poncho hoodie thing going on. It's pretty
righteous. I
kind of
saw that. I was intrigued already.
It is the popular drink of the night.
It's a zip-up, too. And it's got, lambskin on the inside. That's, the biggest hybrid of different things I've ever seen. It's like the sheepskin / poncho / hoodie / Cosby sweater.
It's the best, isn't it?
What do you call one of those?
I would affectionately refer to it as a fleece-lined sweater hoodie.
See, I feel like it's not really Cosby, only based on the fact that the pattern is consistent, where usually it's just like one array of colors throughout.
So would you consider that like a swoobie?
I would.
Excellent.
Or a fleece-suiter. A fleece-suiter.
I like Swoobie.
Oh, Boba Fett is here.
I look away for a second and Boba Fett shows up.
As
how that would occur anyway. Though, did you...
Boba Fett?
Where?
Where?
You saw the armor hoodie, right?
Yes.
Did you see that? John, did you see the armor hoodie?
I did. The really expensive one, basically. That goes over your head like a knight.
Yes. The one that's like $300 or something.
Oh, yeah, this is why I'm broke or whatever.
Yeah.
They have great ones out for Captain America and Spider-Man and Iron Man, I think, too.
Mm-hmm.
And the Captain America one comes over your face and then it has two holes in it.
So yeah, I've seen a lot of those. Badass. Thank you. Good.
Okay.
Level me up, Adam.
Oh.
Usually I'm not much of a fan of the bitter type beers like that.
So delicious.
Really good.
What are you drinking?
It's Badger Hill Minnesota Special Bitter. It's a new beer that he's up over there.
Yeah, there you are.
It's local brew that probably came into market, I'd say, 2 months ago. And so it's slowly growing some legs, but probably going to be limited, like how we can't get Spotted Cow.
Ah, gotcha. Doing the Blue Moon seasonal pack.
Excellent. I will say that despite that it's still growing legs, the legs that it has are very shapely.
Yes, they're very nice. They're nice legs.
Good gams.
Basically.
Gams, yes.
Hella gams.
So as we're talking about this, we could do... Have we done favorite beer?
No.
I don't think so.
We haven't.
No. Because, yeah, we could do that as our good old mic check.
Mic check question. I like it. That'd be fun.
Maybe we should do a top three.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean...
One kind of limits.
I'd say I have a favorite domestic import and, you know...
Miscellaneous.
I was going to say kind of the higher end, like, when I've been good.
Beer. The when I've been good beer. that's good.
Because there's some beers that you kind of have to earn.
That's fair.
To a certain extent, yeah.
That's fair.
Or at least, like, they're also, like, the situational ones. Like, I can only drink PBR when Raj is around. So, now it's become very limited for me, which I'm okay with.
I don't know Raj, but...
Yeah, you do. You did the show with him.
Okay, see, but when we called him Raj, and then he befriended me on Facebook... And
as
then, you
Ben.
Know, as Ben, and I was kind of like, Ben, who the F is Ben Rogers? And then I was like, because you kept calling him Raj, and I was like, oh, yeah, so this guy's name's Raj. And then I was like, that really tiny picture in the invitation, it looks like Raj, but that says Ben. And then I was like... All right, yeah, let's go with it. You know, I get a lot of guys randomly Facebooking me. You know,
of course,
especially after the podcast. I kind of, you know, you get the old buffering podcast bump. Followers on the Twitter, you know.
Well, then right. I'll help you out now.
You are so funny. On
John
the podcast.
Egan.
Hey, John.
James Hello. Wheeler.
What is it? Sorry.
James Wheeler. And I will occasionally call him Egan. So,
yep,
so not to confuse you. Mm-hmm. And then John Adam Erdman.
Nice to officially have the introduction made for us.
Okay. And occasionally he will be called Erdman or Erdman. Sound guy or yes. friend.
Yes.
So,
is he allowed to talk during?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, most definitely.
I didn't know if it was a special thing that he couldn't talk.
only when you say the magic word.
I will communicate with our podcast audience through hand gestures, which will then be interpreted by you.
Oh, I expect at least 5 visual bits tonight.
Okay. Oh, yeah, we're very good at that.
Yeah, we enjoy those.
Even without the webcam. Yeah. Though, I guess I will have fun and kick this off since I came up with it.
Yeah.
And I will say... And I won't break it out as top three because I don't know where each of these would technically fall, but I will say favorite import would be Smittix. Because I enjoy that amber-ish ale, and it's the funky cousin of Guinness, so I'm okay with that too. And I hang out in pubs, so readily available. Favorite domestic, I would say, is still Spotted Cow. And... I mean, it's one of those things where I've even gotten my parents infected, so they've asked me anytime I have a trip over to Green Bay or if I'm even willing to just stop into Hudson to pick up beer to get them a couple 24 packs to last them for a while.
It's a good call.
It's always fun.
It's a good call.
And then for my
special time beer.
It has become the Minnesota Special Bitter because it's one of those beers where it's the $10 for a 6-pack, where I am so much more a premium drinker, and that's $11 for a 12-pack. So it's I can get the affordable local or I can get
Cheers.
The delicious local. Clink, clink,
clink,
punk.
Adam, co-host.
Well, much like your Smittix, and you even mentioned it, I'm going to have to go with my favorite import is Guinness. And that's a sort of an every once in a while kind of thing. It's got to be poured right. And
Is that a Pilsner? Or...
That's funny.
No, it's not.
As far as domestic goes,
before you switch, do you get mad when they do the one pour instead of the 3/4 and then the finish?
I think there is a distinct difference in the taste when they pour it correctly.
Because I've gotten vocal about it, and Emily's gotten pissed at me for getting vocal, thinking that there was like she assumes there isn't a difference, but there
she is. Don't know.
There really is.
Yeah, You don't even know. There is a big difference. I mean, how you pour a Guinness, yeah, it's completely different as far as I'm concerned.
How you pour every beer, but Guinness especially.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That has a particular, there's something about it that it just, it's got to be poured right to taste right. So.
Though, sorry to keep jumping around on stuff, but it's also one of those, hey, let's get other people to talk at the same time to cue things up. But is the Miller Lite thing, the weird inner corkscrew thing still around?
I believe so.
The Vortex?
Yeah, that thing.
I believe so. I think it's there to stay.
Because I'm surprised that either there wasn't like an immediate latch-on following or at least an opt-in from somebody else, at least like Bud didn't do a knockoff version where it spun the other way.
Didn't Coors Light have the little like pop-up on the cans? Like they have like a little extra like pop-up, so when you flip it open, it creates like a little... It's kind of like the little hole on the opposite side of
the coffee
thing. They put something on their cans for a little while. I don't know if that's still around or not, but I mean that's kind of like, hey, do you want your piss to taste like piss, or do you want your piss to taste like piss that's been poured properly?
Do you want it to shoot down your throat so fast that you can't taste it? Hey-o. Have a Miller Lite.
Great taste, less filling. It's not true.
Goes right through you.
How about your extra special beer?
Well, he's got to do his domestic first.
Domestic, yeah.
I cut him off because I was thinking about perfectly poured in a bottle.
I thoroughly enjoy a good Liney's Honey Vice. I love those. And I have... That was kind of the go-to beverage for my circle of friends from college. We would, every Monday night of my senior year... We would go to this bar in town and just have a drink together. And most of the time it was Liney's Honey Vice.
Bar.
Yes, quite.
But it's in super. Iowa, so, you know, it's...
Yeah. Yeah. T-Box. But, yeah, it's...
True.
Hey, Bane has made a guest appearance, too.
All right, I'm distracting everyone.
Though, I find it hard to believe that through the... 5 odd years that I lived in Green Bay, still haven't gone on the Liney's tour yet. So that's got to happen sometime.
Mm-hmm.
That's sad.
And
Liney Kubu?
That's sad, I said.
Oh, that's sad. I thought you said, what's that?
No, it makes me sad.
Me too. Me too.
I've never been on it either.
Liney Kubu's?
Yeah.
We'll all meet in the middle. Huh.
As far as like super duper extra special. Special occasion type thing, beer. I don't really.
Well, how about a grab bag then? In like either it could be a domestic, it could be an import, it could be a cider, it could be a root beer, I guess.
Yeah, well,
it has beer in it.
I don't know. I think
this is riveting.
Guinness has to have a special place in my heart, so.
We're going with Guinness twice, ladies and gentlemen.
Guinness twice. That's what I'm going to say. That's what I'm going to say.
But not the Guinness 250, because that was sad.
I didn't ever actually get to try that. What was...
It was like a Guinness light.
Disappointing.
Or a Smittix dark that had stayed out in the garage for too long.
Yeah, that's not even fair. It was like a skunky Smittix, and I wouldn't want to do that to Smittix. So.
Oh, boy.
Egan, you're up, buddy.
Yeah.
Let's hopscotch. We want to get you back into this, son.
Very quickly, let's do Smittix. I agree. I love Smittix Amber. Yeah. I like sweeter beers. Miller Lite is a staple, and then Summer Shandy or like a raspberry beer. There's one in Appleton called the Stone Cellar, and they make a raspberry beer. Delicious.
Mm. Now, did you do the Honey Bear way back when?
No,
because that's honey. Yeah, it's Honey Weiss and Berry Weiss.
And I have.
The Honey Bear. Or, what was that? I remember bringing a Shandy in here. There's a Shandy out there that's recent that, its primary logo is a big curly mustache and old-timey glasses. It's like Curious Something Shandy.
George?
Could be. Wishful thinking.
I don't remember that one.
That would have a big big yellow hat.
It does have a yellow background color to it, but who knows? I don't know much about Shandy's because I've just gotten onto that scene.
True.
Lonnie's right. Summer Shandy is quite tasty. I like theirs.
No. It tastes like Fruity Pebbles. Next time you taste it, think Fruity Pebbles, and you'll never want another bottle again. I'm sorry I ruined it for everybody on the podcast. Don't put this on the mic check. Tastes like Fruity Pebbles. You're going to be like, it's like the Fruity Pebble milk.
But that's like saying you can't have rum chata anymore because it tastes like Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Oh, no. That's a totally different thing. You never get sick. No one can ever get sick of Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I mean, let's be honest. It's cinnamon and sugar, right? But sometimes, you know, the Fruity Pebbles, it's a little too synthetic fruity for me. I'm just saying.
You know, I don't think I've had it enough to really have that mental, like, turn of a taste for it.
I drank my first bottle and I was like, what in the hell does this taste like? What does this taste like? It's sweet, it's fruity. What the hell? And then I had another one, and the first drink I had from the bottle, I was like,
an epiphany.
No, it was a downturn. It was a sad day. It was not an epiphany. It was just this horrible, horrible realization. I was like, oh my god, this tastes like Fruity Pebble milk. And then I was like, here, you finish this. I gotta go drink something else. All right, and I'm going to take that opportunity to corral this, and I'm going to say my favorite import of all time is Boddington's. I love it. It's smooth and sweet and bitter and delicious. My favorite domestic, I have to go with the Summit Extra Pale Ale. My personal favorite for their seasonals is the Maibock. I look forward to Maibock season all year long. I don't like a whole lot of other Maibocks, but I love the Summit Maibock. Either that, or when I lived down in Mississippi, there was a brewery called Lazy Magnolia down there. They made a sweet potato stout called Jefferson Stout, and then their staple was a kind of a sweet nut brown ale called Lazy Magnolia. Half Lazy Magnolia and half Jefferson Stout. Oh, snap. Son, that's the best thing that you could possibly put together. Try that with a Guinness and a Newcastle.
Is that what the comparable pairing is?
I'd say that's probably the comparable thing. Okay. But Guinness is so much like smoother and sweeter. There's something really earthy about the sweet potato stout. It's one of the only sweet potato stouts I've ever had on top of it. It was very heavy and dense, but it was just delicious. And then my special time beer. Oh man, it's special time. What time is it? When it's special time, I like to bust out a cider, and I like Crispin. I like their large tall glasses that have the line with the polar bear on it to designate how much ice you should put in it, and then the Crispin over that. Smooth, sweet apple cider, and it just goes down like mudda.
I actually bought Emily a couple of those glasses just because had to have them.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing. If I have a couple extra dollars and I have a little extra time before going to a Twins game, I go over to Kieran's. I have a couple Crispins because it's so light. Like you don't, if you're sitting out at the ball game, you're not going to be like, oh god, why did I drink three beers before I came here? You know, you just kind of like to get that heavy beer feeling, and not with the Crispin.
No,
it's the taste of summer, son. That's my special time beer. It's my special time beer.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I'm going to have to add a little
a caveat.
Yes, that in this cider category, I loves me a Strongbow.
Mm-hmm.
They're tasty. They're nice.
Yeah. True.
Woodchuck with a little bit of Goldschlager poured into the top.
Ooh.
Somebody, cinnamon apple.
Okay. That's going to be, we're going to go around the horn one more time. Egan, what's your naughty time beer? Because I think that's your naughty time beer. You know, like when you're feeling a little spicy, you know, maybe you go for that, woodchuck with a little Goldschlager in it.
Well, no, that's more so that I think that's the last time I consciously, actively ordered a cider. I don't really have cider anymore.
Oh. Okay, I gave that up. I just couldn't handle it anymore.
What do you mean the naughty time? Like, something I mix or a weird beer I have.
Yeah, some, or... just I think like some sort of weird combination or something where it's kind of
because really
when you're feeling
not...
frisky, when you're feeling frisky, Egan, what do you go for? Sometimes Dan feeling frisky and he's like, you
it'd
know, if I'm gonna
a,
have
it'd
a
be
cedar,
a car bomb, it'd be a car bomb.
Okay, all right. But that, I feel like that's a lot more regular. I feel like the kind of one-off strange thing where you kind of like you have one, you're kind of like, yeah, okay, I'll have one more.
Okay, car bomb would be my party time.
Okay, so party time.
Yeah.
And then naughty time, you know? If you got anything to throw out there.
I don't know. I have nothing right now. I can't. I don't really combine things that are weird.
It's good. That's a good call.
I never like, hey, this tequila should go in this Corona, because then that doubles Mexican.
Oh.
It's like drinking Mexican water.
I think that's called a dysentery. Isn't that what that shot's called? A dysentery? Yeah, not cool. Don't put that in the don't put it in that mic check.
Montezuma's Revenge.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, I was gonna say that I really enjoy Pacifico, but that's a step that's above kind of... Corona. But anyway, I don't know if I really have a naughty time beer per se. So, yeah, I'm going to pass on this one.
Okay.
But I was thinking, oh, yeah. So no. You kind of had yours. So you
just throwing that out there.
You brought it up.
I really like having a Bloody Mary with a beer back with either pickle juice or Tabasco or both.
Uh-huh.
Try it out. Just put a pickle in your beer. See what happens. I'm just saying. It might change your mind.
I understand where you're going with naughty.
I'm born and bred Minnesotan, but when I go across the border to Wisconsin, I get a Bloody Mary. Because Bloody Mary on the wide open dairy plain of Wisconsin has pretty much every vegetable and or dairy and meat product in it. It's kind of like, oh yeah, okay, so, yeah, we're going to need a beef stick. Then we're going to need a piece of string cheese.
Yep.
Okay, yep. We're going to need celery. Well, if, you know, if we got celery, we should probably put a pickle in there. Right. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, if we have a pickle, we should probably have a sword with a couple olives in it. Right.
Well, yeah.
You know.
At least three.
Yeah. I mean, let's be fair. You know,
it's not a far.
We'll balance it out.
Not a far jump.
No, no, no. And then it's kind of like, okay, well, if we have all that, well, you know, I mean, we definitely need some Tabasco in there. And then it's kind of like, okay, well, yeah, no, okay, we should have some horseradish, right? And then if we're going to have a horseradish, we need to dilute that a little bit, so we should put some Worcestershire sauce in there. It's like, Wisconsinites know a couple things. And one of those things is how to make a badass Bloody Mary. So that's my naughty time. When I want to get naughty, I'm gonna have a Wisconsin Bloody Mary.
Just picturing that, I imagine they have to have one glass for the accessories and one for the Bloody Mary itself.
Oh no, you just have it in a liter glass.
Oh well, that'd make
trust sense. Me, son. If you go to Glick's downtown Minneapolis,
yep,
on a Wisconsin day, I found out after I'd been working there for a while, there was like the Wisconsin bar, so I always had to face the humiliation of Minnesota losing to Wisconsin, which because no matter how large of a lead we always have in college football,
squashed.
We lose to Wisconsin. And found out it was a Wisconsin bar. Had a Bloody Mary during one of those after my shift.
Right.
But it had a Wisconsin Bloody Mary in a liter glass, which is, you know, an entire picnic, you know. In a glass and
Well, we're taping on not New Year's Day, but the day after, and we're calling it Hangover Day. And there's already been a request for spicy Bloody Marys.
I don't even need to be on the podcast, but I will come for that.
you can come hang out.
I will make those because that's the other good thing about working in that bar and working in bars in general. You have people come in that say, no. Like, you make a Bloody Mary for them, like, that's not what I want. More spice, you know. Like, I had a guy come back and, like, say, did you put black pepper in this? And I said, no. And he said,
the hell's wrong with you?
Said, no, no.
All right, so is everything sounding...
Let me teach you my ways.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everything sounding good, yes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Real quick, I wanted to do one more thing while we're on this subject. It's going to be a gut reaction thing. You're in a pinch. Cheap beer. James, go.
Mickey's.
Okay.
Hand grenade.
John Egan.
Cheap beer.
Walking's Best.
Oh, the Beast.
Oh, the Beast.
Dan.
I'd say Beast or Natty Ice.
Okay. Grain Belt for me.
Can I come? Oh, Grain Belt. Oh, that's not the same thing.
That's not a. It's an inexpensive beer. That's not a cheap beer.
I would like to say that a 30 pack of Hams for $16
or Red Dog
that might displace the Mickey's. The nice thing about Mickey's is it looks like a hand grenade, so you can drink it, and then after you've had five or six of them,
you can throw them.
Yeah,
but of course, after five or six, then you're throwing the 40s.
Fire in the hole.
Yeah, no, I've never thrown a 40, but I will say that I have thrown Mickey's hand grenades off a fire escape into a dumpster about 40 feet away. That's neither here nor there.
That sounds glorious. I mean, that's part of the experience of Mickey's, I think.
Yeah.
They should have. And, you know, Mickey's has the little puzzles under the
Yeah, the caps. The cryptograms.
Yeah, those are fun.
Or pictograms. That's the one.
Those are fun.
All right, so everything sounds good. So this is a good time. Egan, if you need another beer or want to hit the restroom, because we're going to be hanging out for the next hour or so. So this is a good time to do anything you need to before you're anchoring down for a bit.
All right, I'll grab one more beer.
Cool. All right, let's see. I have...
I have a bit of news today.
Do you?
Yep.
No, not yet. I've been focused on the Netflix Disney thing.
Yeah, that's pretty huge.
It's not, yeah, just like right about it, it's like, you know what? This isn't one of those things where you can sit down and write about it a week later and still be relevant. It's like, okay, today's the day. Just got to do it. Pump it out.
Yeah. Other thing you put in a Bloody Mary, if you have the little cubes, pepper jack cheese in the little cubes.
I'd be more with the string cheese here.
I love the string cheese, but if you want it a little spicy. You want a little something?
Oh, sounds good. So I wanted to show you these before we started. It's the mini gift I'm giving to a couple people.
Holy crap. Is that an angel?
Yeah.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Because, I already got your thing. It's a bit bigger than that. But I figured it'd be safe to show you that based on your reaction at the wedding.
Yeah.
Creepy. I found on Etsy. I found someone who made like perfect weeping angel masks.
Oh man!
It's like I'm not buying that for anybody.
But as soon as that comes into my house, I'm dead.
As long as we're talking about weeping angels, and if we have a minute before we get going, Weeping Angels Take Manhattan, or Angels Take Manhattan. What did y'all think of that episode? The giant Statue of Liberty, weeping angel.
That was stupid.
That was really hard to swallow. And I'm a big believer.
I like the idea of it.
Ghostbusters 2?
Okay. Ghostbusters 2 doesn't have the strange premise that all statues can become a weeping angel. So the fact that it was like inhabited by this kind of ectoplasmic thing.
And
Jackie
Wilson.
Different. Yeah, it's a little bit different. It's a little bit different.
Ectoplasm is somehow more believable than...
It's more
the weeping angel idea.
Every statue can become a weeping angel. Because it was like, okay, it's there. And they weren't looking at it for a long time while they were having little interludes between each other.
But.
So it's kind of like, okay, why didn't it just reach down and grab them? Or like club it with the fire, whatever.
Because it's the Statue of Liberty in New York City and somebody was looking at it.
And they can't do that by knocking it out. Gotta be active. No, that's just my retort to the.
Yeah, sure. No, but I'm saying like if you're not looking at it though, isn't it active?
They also can't be able to see each other. That's why in the caverns episode, it had to be dark for them to move. Mm-hmm. Because I think shit goes down.
When they were standing on top of the rooftop, and the giant Statue of Liberty was right there, and there was no other angels out there, and it was like they were all talking to each other, it was kind of like, why isn't that angel just sending them back in time right now?
Big enough that other people could see it?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Someone else was looking at it on the street below or something like that. Going,
or one of the new tenants who was evil? Stuck there and looking at its belly button.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, that was the one, for all the amazing things that happened in that episode, I was kind of like, no, not buying that. I've loved the shit out of this season. I love Dinosaurs in Space.
Yeah.
You can't not love Dinosaurs in Space with like every supporting character that you can possibly know.
the two robots are my favorite piece of that that season so far. It's just those two. They are the best.
Yeah, because, I like them.
I'm going to disagree with you on that. I'm going to say the greatest part of the season has been Rory's dad, a.k.a. Arthur Weasley.
Yeah.
Which is my favorite crossover. So I got three big crossovers. There's that. There's Ian McKellen playing Gandalf and Magneto. I didn't know if we were recording.
It's still running.
Yeah.
The Magneto-Gandalf conundrum.
Yeah.
And then the other one was Christopher Lee playing Count Dooku.
And Saruman.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
It's like these just like great sci-fi crossovers. They're just, you know, I feel like great English actors carrying on the great tradition of amazing sci-fi fantasy crossovers is the Arthur Weasley, Rory's dad.
Yeah. That's pretty neat.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Plays a good dad.
Yes. I was really rooting when they threw us the curveball. With having the new companion as the crazy Dalek human whatever, which I wasn't crazy about. Yeah. Why would the Daleks would never... to me, the Daleks would never stoop to being human. Like,
except
having
that episode where they turn in Dalek humans.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's what I'm saying. Is kind of like, for me, like, that for me was really... It felt wrong. It felt like even if the Daleks wanted to destroy everything, like if they wanted to exterminate the entire universe, they would never stoop so low as to become human again. So I had a big problem with it. But that's neither here nor there. I was really hoping that they were going to throw us a curveball and they said like the new companion would come in the Christmas episode. I was really hoping Rory's dad would stick around and be the new companion. Brian Williams would be the new companion for like the second half of the season, and then they'd introduce whatever Jean-Louise Coleman at the end of the season somehow, because love me some more his dad.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. But
anywho, indeed. All
right. Why not just make Harry Potter the Doctor's new companion? That'd work out, right?